The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me." Today we're going to talk about in the world, but not of the world, and then we'll talk about why fear death. So an overview of today's broadcast. We examine the subject of being in the world, but not of the world. It is stressed that true believers have a settled assurance of the existence of the Creator. It is noted that true believers see things differently, but most do not understand this principle. It is stated that true believers are filled with the Spirit of Yah, the Creator. It is emphasized that true believers hear Father Yah's still small voice. It is noted that true believers actively honor the Ten Commandments. In closing, it is stressed that all unbelievers are fundamentally serving Satan. Then look at a second message relating to why you are afraid of dying. It is noted that almost universally in our society, people fear death at some level. We look at why an unbeliever should fear death and why an unbelieving believer should fear death. We then consider why a believer with unrepented sin should fear death. And finally, we consider that a true believer free of sin has no reason to fear death. We then consider that heaven is beautiful, and we refer to some useful references, and then list a number of YouTube videos that report visits to heaven and how beautiful it is. I then ask, so what? Why should you believe? And then we'll also look at what you should do if you now believe. Finally, we will examine the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a strategic management consultant. I have over 28 years experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve Him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Mission Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries.org for more information. In particular, please see the compendium of important articles at the top of the menu that lists articles in a logical sequence relative to a typical journey with the Creator. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. The show and podcasts for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. The podcasts are available on a number of websites if you just Google Relationship with Creator Radio. So let's look at the subject, in the world but not of the world. This is a very important principle that many believers miss, that believers are in the world but not of the world. See in the Bible John 15:19 and John 17:16 and other verses. In this context, the world refers to the world system, which is ruled over by the junta of seven demonic masterminds, while Satan is serving his 1,000-year sentence in the pit. They're based in Woolwich in London, UK. All unbelievers are part of the world. So what does this mean? We'll go into that in a bit of detail. But depending on where you are on a spectrum of one end, a very committed believer, very close to Father, on the other hand, somebody who's way unbeliever, serving Satan, you're going to interpret this differently. But basically what I'm saying is that people who are believers have a different view of what's going on in the earth to people who are not. And it's important to be aware of that. So the first thing is that believers have an assurance of the reality of the Creator and their future in heaven, and they live their lives to please Him. Unbelievers do not understand this, and many ridicule it. Let me be clear, I'm talking about true believers here. I'm talking about people who really, really, really know with great certainty that the Almighty exists and have a high level of confidence that when they die, they will go to heaven. I'm not talking about people who are lukewarm, insipid believers who sort of think that maybe the Creator exists and maybe they're going to go to heaven. You may be on the fringes of being believers, but I'm sorry to tell you, you're a long way out and you've got a way to go. And I would encourage you to really take this seriously and start living your life to serve the Almighty. Start seeking a relationship with Him. There's a huge amount on my website to help you with that. That said, if you do have such an assurance of the reality of the Creator, you will find, if you have a discussion about this with an unbeliever, that they really do not understand what you're saying. You're going to talk about things that are very real to you, experiences you've had, etc. And they're going to say you're crazy. They're going to ridicule it. I spent some time recently engaging with a business associate who I thought was interested. In the end, he basically told me I needed to see a psychiatrist. So, yes, believers do see things differently. And that's my second point, that believers do see things differently. True believers see things differently and respond differently to world events. And so they're not understood by unbelievers. Many times this results in believers and unbelievers talking past each other. If you really believe, if you really see that Father is moving on the earth in certain things, if you are having prayers answered, if you've had some supernatural experiences as a believer, you will talk about things that unbelievers have no knowledge of. You'll talk about things that unbelievers think are crazy, that don't make any sense to them. But the result is that you talk past each other. And you will probably get into a situation where you limit your conversation. Because at the end of the day, in trying to have a conversation with an unbeliever, you find that you really don't have a lot to say. And you just don't necessarily agree with a lot of what they're saying. So you talk past each other. And these can be your family. These can be your close friends. These can be people you work with every day. And at some level, you may have a good relationship with them in the ambit of your day-to-day existence. But the minute you start to talk about Father, the minute you start to talk about your beliefs, you find that they back off. If they're good friends, they'll just sort of nod sort of sagely and sort of think to themselves, you're a bit crazy. Don't understand why such a nice person would think such crazy ideas. It's quite a challenge. And then my third point is that believers do not understand this. Because many believers do not understand this principle, they get sucked into all sorts of conspiracy theories and indignation at the error and sin in the world, when this is inherent in the world system. The world is ruled over by the seven demonic masterminds, not some junta of human beings. There is no need for a conspiracy to rule the world. The satanic and demonic realm have ruled the world for over 6,000 years. The conspiracy theories of the unbelievers are irrelevant to true believers. There's a huge amount of stuff going on about the coronavirus and the vaccine and the New World Order and the this and the that. And it's been going on for years. And a lot of it doesn't make a lot of sense. And what I observe is that a lot of believers get sucked into this stuff. So, for example, believing that the this thing about the microchip being the mark of the beast, it's crazy. The mark of the beast is a spiritual mark. We live in a, true believers live in a spiritual dispensation, not a physical dispensation. Trying to explain what's happening in the world by looking at the physical is really not very helpful. And many believers get sucked into this because they don't understand that they're actually operating in a different dimension. My fourth point is that believers are filled with the Spirit of Yah, Yah being the name of the Almighty Creator. True believers are filled with the set-apart Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit of the Almighty Creator, Yah the eternally self-existing, and have supernatural peace and joy and experience, and they experience leading by the Spirit, signs, healing, miracles, etc. To the extent that they are free of sin, they are protected by the messengers or angels of Yah and live life on a different plane. Many believers are not walking in the fullness of what I've said here. They need to seek this. Unbelievers regard all of the above as meaningless mumbo-jumbo and completely false. Many unbelievers don't believe in spirits. So when you say that you're filled with the Spirit of the Almighty, they think you're crazy. If you truly are filled with the Spirit of the Almighty, if you have prayed repeatedly, Father, I ask you to dwell in me by your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit on me. Fill me with your fire. Whatever it is that you've prayed and you've prayed regularly to be filled with the Spirit, then Father is dwelling inside you. And he's teaching you at whatever level you're willing to be taught. But the result is that you know things, that you know that you know that you know, that don't make sense to believers who are not close to Father, let alone to unbelievers. And if you go through, as I did, through a period of sort of naive belief that everybody was sort of a believer and sort of understood these things, you end up looking, frankly, from the worldly point of view, as a fool. Because you talk about things that they don't understand, that they don't believe in. In point number 5, believers hear Father Yah's still small voice. True believers hear Father Yah's still small voice, and therefore have a very different view on most things. Unbelievers consider such a thing as absurd and make comments about believers needing to see psychiatrists, etc. If you're a believer and not actively hearing Father's voice, you need to work at it. He wants to speak to you. If you cannot hear him, that is your problem. I'm not being ugly when I say that, but there's this mistaken belief that Father is reticent about speaking to us. Not at all. He created us to be his friends, his companions, to do things with him. He wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you constantly. He wants to have a conversation with you about what's going on in your life. So true believers hear Father's voice. A lot of believers don't, because they didn't know it was possible, and they think they've got to go to the priest or the pastor or the prophet or whatever for them to hear Father. But no. It's quite possible for you as an individual to hear Father's voice if you decide that that's something that you want and do something about it. And I suggest fasting. There's a lot of material on the website. There's an article, 7 Components of Drawing Close, which has got a whole lot of guidance on how you sanctify yourself, how you get close to Father. So you might want to read that and put it into practice. But the fundamental thing is, if you're hearing Father's voice and you start telling unbelievers that Father talks to you, then the next thing you know, that's telling you that you're crazy and you're hearing strange voices and you need to see a psychiatrist. You need to be careful about who you share, what you share. Then point number 6, believers actively honor the 10 commandments. True believers actively honor and respect the 10 commandments and seek to live above sin. Unbelievers are not subject to the 10 commandments and therefore do not understand believers and the need to live above sin. If you're a believer and not actively seeking to live above sin, you need to start immediately. I had a situation a few weeks ago where an unbeliever very proudly produced a 10-minute video clip of some stand-up comedian ridiculing the 10 commandments and reducing them to 2 or 3 principles of generic principles which had nothing to do with Father. And I said to him after he'd shown me this video, I said, what's the point? You've got the 10 commandments don't apply to unbelievers. So why are you wasting your time talking about the 10 commandments? Father's not interested in you if you're an unbeliever. And so just ignore the 10 commandments. Carry on with your life. So strangely enough, he seemed quite surprised. That, you know, he didn't believe in the Almighty, but somehow there was something to do with complying with the 10 commandments. So this is another place where believers and unbelievers just talk past each other. You know, unbelievers will say, well, we shouldn't commit adultery, but if they have the odd one-night stand or whatever, it's no big deal. If you're a serious believer and seriously committed, then that is a big deal. So really important to understand that and to live above sin. And then my seventh point, which is probably going to be a bit unpalatable to quite a few people, but the fact of the matter is that unbelievers are fundamentally serving Satan. Fundamentally, no matter what their nominal values and ethics, all unbelievers are serving the satanic and demonic realm, and true believers will have some level of disconnect with them. There are many unbelievers who are nice, good, loving, law-abiding citizens, but when it comes down to the wire, they are serving Satan. So it is necessary to engage with unbelievers in your work situation and in day-to-day life, but one must avoid getting into intimate relationships or marriage, etc. It is great sin for a believer to marry an unbeliever or have sex with an unbeliever. Folks, there are billions of good, nice, loving, law-abiding people on earth. It just happens that if they don't believe in the Creator, they are by default serving Satan. And if you really are a true believer and you really are seeking to serve the Almighty Creator, you are going to have a disconnect with these people at some level. And what you'll find is that the people who are nice, good, loving, law-abiding, etc., 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 when it comes to the shove, when they get really confronted with the truths of the Almighty, they tend to become very aggressive and very dramatic, because in fact then you're triggering their demons who really don't want them to let go of their belief in Satan. So they don't want to hear that they're serving Satan. They're serving God or whatever else, whereas God is an alias for Satan. So in conclusion, if you are a true believer, it is important to understand the above and live accordingly. Getting upset with the world system and getting sucked into their conspiracy theories is not helpful. If you're a believer and you're not walking in the above, I encourage you to start fasting and praying and seeking to draw close to the Father so that you can walk in this. See seven components of drawing close on the website and put this into practice. Folks, I hope you followed my points here. If you are a true believer and you really are serving Father with some energy and with some commitment, you probably know full well that the unbelievers don't understand you. And if you're an unbeliever, you might by now understand that it's completely logical for you not to understand the true believers, because you're serving different mighty ones, you're serving different gods, if you like. You're living according to a different set of laws. You're believing different things. You're having different experiences. And that is so profound. I've dealt with people who are quite committed believers and they don't understand this principle until you actually share it with them and realize why it is they find so much about what's going on around them unsettling and unpleasant. So I hope that's helped. I'm going to move on and I'm going to pose the question, why are you afraid of dying? Or if you like, are you afraid of dying? One of the things I've noticed recently is the extent to which death is viewed as very undesirable by most people. Our society goes to great lengths to prevent death, and individuals fight hard to avoid dying prematurely, whatever one means by prematurely. For example, I've come across a YouTube video where a group of charismatic Christians share about a spiritual battle through intercessory prayer to save the life of a young child. Inherently, they regard death as something highly undesirable and to be prevented at all costs. But nobody asked the question as to whether the child would be better off dying. Eventually, after about 3 weeks of intense intercession, the child turns the corner and death is averted. And so they're set on a road of growing up in our messed up and confused world. Accordingly, I would like to look at the realities of one's options at death and whether one should, in fact, fear death, and by extension, how should one live one's life on a day-to-day basis. If you think about it, as we get into old age, there is a substantial part of the medical profession in hospitals, old age homes, etc., etc., that is geared to keep us alive just a few years longer. Versus when it comes to a point where we really get ill and we might nearly die, saying, okay, well, maybe it's your time to go, and just letting them go. Think about it. Listen to what I have to say here. So point number one, if you're an unbeliever, I would suggest for your consideration that you should fear death. If you do not have a deep, settled assurance of the reality of the Creator and some level of relationship with Him, then death is, in fact, undesirable. When you die, you will become a disembodied ancestor spirit, in other words, a demon, unable to move around without external motive power, either another human being, an animal, or a satanic messenger angel. In the worst case, you will end up on your rotting corpse in the grave for eternity, or in the crematorium oven. Or you might manage to move on to a family member or other mourner who embraces your corpse. Or if you are a notable sinner, you might be transferred onto a designated target to lead them into deeper sin. Irrespective of the exact outcome, you do have a good reason to fear death, and that applies to virtually the whole population of the earth. This includes most nominally religious people, by the way. So if you're an unbeliever and you choose not to come to belief, when you die, you're going to have a few limited opportunities to jump from your corpse onto another human being. I strongly recommend that you do that, because otherwise you're going to end up in the grave with your corpse forever, long after it's rotted. Or you're going to end up in the crematorium oven until it's demolished, and then you're going to end up in some pile of rubble buried somewhere. Either way, not very pleasant. So I suggest, as an unbeliever, you should fear death and you should hang on as long as possible. If you're an unbelieving believer, then you should also fear death. If you're at some time momentarily deeply recognize the existence of the Creator, but then reverted to leading life as though He does not exist, then when you die, you will indeed make it into heaven, but into the outer darkness, the outer reaches of heaven, a pitch black, ice cold, highly unpleasant location with millions of others weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth at their misfortune, the trash heap of heaven, in the Almighty's words, arguably a worse outcome than dying as an unbeliever. Folks, this is so important to understand. When Father created us, He didn't expect people not to believe, so He didn't have anywhere to put them, so He just had to let them stay on their corpses. And He didn't have anywhere to put people who just sort of believed and then did nothing about it. So since all the places in the throne room were taken, He had to put them outside in the outer darkness, not because He's being ugly. But basically what this boils down to, folks, if you have nominal belief, if at some point you believed and now you just live life as though Father doesn't exist, you have a good reason to fear death. It's going to be pretty ugly. In fact, it's probably going to be more ugly than if you die as an unbeliever. But that's your choice. If that's what you want, live life to the full. Hang on to the last possible breath. And then when you die, you're going to have a very long time to reconsider your choices. Thirdly, a believer with unrepented sin, you too should fear death. If you die as a believer with unrepented sin, you will spend a season in hell being tortured for your sin before you make it into heaven, where you will be rewarded for what you've done for the Almighty. See the page Hell on the website. It's better than nothing, but you might also be justified in fearing death in this case. It's actually very easy to deal with this, but let's assume you don't know how to deal with it or you don't think it's important to deal with it. The fact of the matter is, Yeshua, Jesus, died a terrible death on the stake, you may know it as a cross. Nails the size of your finger driven through his wrists and his ankles, his feet. Hanging there, suspended, battling to breathe, suffocating, pulling himself up so that he could breathe in ragged breaths, tortured with agonizing pain. And he did that to provide a way for you to repent of your sin, for me to repent of my sin. If you do not take up that offer to deal with your sin and live free of sin, then you have to understand that you are going to have a very, very terrible experience in hell when you die, possibly for days, maybe weeks, maybe months, maybe even years, depending on how much sin you've heaped up in your life. And since most believers don't understand this principle and don't clean up their lives the way they should do, most believers have got some reason to fear death, because you're going to have some years of really horrible stuff before you get to heaven. My fourth point is for believers free of sin. If you die as a believer free of sin, which is entirely possible, see the page on the website, What is Required to Live Above Sin, you will go directly to heaven and be rewarded for what you've accomplished on earth. For you are the Almighty Creator, see where are you going on the website. In this case, you have no reason to fear death. In fact, if you really get a fix on this, you will look forward to dying, barring that you will have a ministry and calling that will keep you on earth for a while. Folks, if you really are a believer and you are living your life for Father and you are doing things day in and day out for Him, and this is not huge stuff, this is just about putting Him first in your life. It's about doing something to strengthen His ministry and His kingdom on earth, you can potentially get to a place where you receive a massively glorious resurrected body, great authority, great power, the ability to be in more than one place at the same time, the ability to have multiple conversations at the same time, dramatic stuff. And what's more, you won't go to hell. Well, you may or may not go to hell on the way. But if you're really living free of sin, you will go straight to heaven. You won't go to hell. And it'll be quite a relief to get out of this place when you die. So there's no reason, if you're a truly committed believer and you're truly free of sin, there's no reason to stay here a day longer than Father wants you to stay. I then want to put this in context and make the context and say to you that heaven is real and beautiful and give you some useful references. Those who've been to heaven and returned say that it is beautiful. Refer to the videos that I'm going to reference in a minute. That being so, there is no reason for a truly committed believer who's making a sincere effort to serve the Almighty Creator, Yah, the eternally self-existing, not Jesus, not the Lord, not God, but Yah, to fear death. Note that a child below the age of accountability, which I understand to be 13 or 14, puberty, falls under the covering of their father if the father is a believer, in which case the child goes directly to heaven. So in the case mentioned above at the beginning of this program, there really was no need to spend 3 weeks interceding for the child. The child could have gone to heaven straight away, been brought up there, and had a lovely life. The counterpoint to this is that if you are a true believer and free of sin, you will have a reasonable basis to expect to live to age 80 or older, provided you stay free of sin and free of error. So I'm going to, in a moment, share with you a few YouTube videos, which I strongly suggest that you go and watch. So it's not practical to read out to you the YouTube links. They are on a page called Important Videos on the website, all the links, plus a short summary of what each one is about, short commentary. I'm just going to read out the title of each video, and you can search in YouTube. If you put the title that I'm going to give you in quotes in YouTube, or even just in the search bar in YouTube, you'll find them. So the first one is I Saw Heaven. Then Eben Alexander, A Neurosurgeon's Journey Through the Afterlife. Then Life to Afterlife, Death and Back, Full Official Movie. From Life to Death, Beyond and Back by Thomas Fleischman. Woman Drowns Dead in Hour, Meets Jesus, Returns with Powerful Message, Amazing Near-Death Experience. Kevin Zadai Died and Jesus Told Him These Words, Something More. Heaven is for Real, Interview with Todd and Colton Burpo. It's a remarkable story by a young man taken to heaven at the age of 4 during surgery. He met his sister who died in miscarriage. This is important. All children who are miscarried or aborted, whose fathers are believers, are in heaven. So if you've lost a child, if you're a believer and you've lost a child, you can stop grieving. They're in a better place than you are. And then as a counterpoint to this, The Fate of Believers in Sin, 23 Minutes in Hell by Bill Weiser, W-I-E-S-E, The Man Who Went to Hell. That's the opposite side of the picture. But if you go to those first ones, even if you just search in YouTube for near-death experiences, you'll find there are a lot of videos there. Dip into them selectively, and you'll get the picture that heaven is a beautiful place. And understand that if you die as a believer free of sin, you will go immediately to heaven, no time in hell, and you'll have a wonderful future. So then there is absolutely no reason to fear death. In conclusion, I hope that firstly this article has challenged you to seek a deep personal relationship with the Creator and to live a life free of sin, and then to lose all fear of death. If you've been listening to me and you're an unbeliever or you're a shaky believer, I'll give you a prayer to pray in a minute. But basically, folks, if you're an unbeliever, you need to come to belief. If you've once believed and then nothing about it, you need to actively start getting involved. You need to pray for guidance. If you're actively serving Father, but you don't have a revelation of living without sin and you've fallen into this trap that many believers fall into, well, Jesus died, so I don't have to worry about my sin. Absolutely wrong. You have to confess your sin, and He is faithful and just to forgive your sin if you confess and repent. And repent means turning around, not carrying on committing that sin. So you also have some prayers to pray. So let's ask the question, so what? Why should you believe? You may be asking the question, so what? Why does it matter? Why should I make a choice? I would hope that by now I've given you some good reasons to believe. or if you like, some good reasons not to walk in unbelief. If you come to belief, there's a range of outcomes, and there's an article on the website near the bottom of the menu, Where Are You Going?, which sets out in detail all the different options that are available to you from serving Satan to serving the Creator with great intensity. Where the ultimate prize for those who really go for it in this life is a high throne with a massively glorious body and massive supernatural powers and authority. So I submit for your consideration that it is definitely worth becoming a believer. So what do you do if you now believe? If you've now concluded that you do now believe that the Almighty Creator exists, I recommend that you pray along the following lines. Father Yah, the Almighty Creator, I have previously believed that you do not exist. I now recognize that I was mistaken, and I repent and ask you to forgive me. I choose now to accept the reality of your existence, and I ask you to help me to learn about you and come into relationship with you. Show me what to read and listen to and what not to read and listen to. Send people to me who can help me, and keep people from me who will not help me. I ask you to send your set-apart or Holy Spirit to live in me and help me become a faithful servant. Amen. And pray whatever else you feel impressed to pray. Father is not doesn't work according to a recipe book. He will accept your prayer if you give it to him humbly and in penitence and say to him, Father, I have sinned, I've erred against you, and I ask you to forgive me. And pray whatever you feel impressed to pray. If you're a nominal believer, if you're one of these people that Father calls a believing unbeliever, in other words, you believed at one moment in time and since you've carried on, then you need to pray something like, Father Yah, I recognize now that while I did believe once upon a time, I have ignored you. And I recognize that as great sin. I repent. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to help me to turn my life around and serve you actively and fully for the rest of my life. I desire to spend eternity with you in the inner reaches of heaven, in the throne room of heaven. I ask you to send the people who will help me to me. I ask you to help me to obtain reading and listening material that will help me. I ask you to fill me with your Spirit. And I ask you to give me utterance in prayer. I ask you to help me to draw close to you. And if you're a believer who now realizes that you're not walking above sin, that you've got sin in your life, you might pray something like, Father Yah, I now realize that I have a whole lot of sin in my life. I confess that as sin. I deeply repent. And I ask you to forgive me in the name of Yeshua. And then get some bread and some grape juice or red wine, and pray, Father, I recall that on the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to those who followed him and said, Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this as often as I shall eat it in remembrance of me. And then after supper, he took the cup, gave it to those who followed him and said, Drink ye all of this. This is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for forgiveness of sin. Do this as oft as you shall drink it in remembrance of me. And then pray, Father, I thank you that Yeshua died to accept my sin. I ask you to forgive all my sins, all the things that I can think of and all the things that I can't think of, and help me to start a new life free of sin. And then make a list of all your sins. Go back over your life. There's an article, Seven Steps of Drawing Close, that refers to what I call a spiritual audit. Make a list of all the things you can think of. Repent, repent, repent. It's going to take you a year or two to really clean up your act, but it's worth going for it. In closing, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Creator today. Do Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. If you think you're doing okay, and you're not, when you get to heaven, you get there and you suddenly find that you're in the back of the throne room because you shilly-shallied and messed around on earth, it's going to be a huge shock. Particularly when you realize it was available to you to rise to the status of being called a friend and qualifying for a very high throne with great power and authority. Which do you want? It's available to you, whatever you choose. So in closing, some key documents and a video, the main menu on the website. There's a compendium of important articles, video Why Seek Relationship, The Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, 7 Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, Where Will You Spend Eternity, The Essence of My Message to Christians, and many more. All of this is available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts, or you can search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. The Google search is particularly useful. There's over 1,000 web pages and over 1,000 articles on the website. More than 9,000 printed A4 pages. So you can use the Google search to find information on all sorts of topics. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Currently, questions don't seem to be getting through, so if you submitted questions and have not received a reply, please send them to the email below. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's James, J-A-M-E-S, @endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, it is possible for you, the person I'm talking to right now, to develop a deep personal relationship with Father and qualify for a very high throne in heaven. It doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter your gender, it doesn't matter your level of education, it doesn't matter your level of wealth or lack, it doesn't matter your race, your height, it doesn't matter whether you've got black hair or blonde hair or anything in between, it doesn't matter if you've got blue eyes or green eyes or brown eyes or anything in between. Whoever you are, wherever you are, wherever you come from, whatever your tribe, your nation, whatever, you can become a friend of the Almighty Creator. and I'm here to help you. You've got my email address. Please email me. Thanks so much. Good night.
Father, I come to you. Live.